Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And this is the second to last in our I Am series. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell him, God is. You better believe it. You may be seated. Mr. Soundman, it sounds really good up here today. I appreciate that. Very, very good. I can't see who it is, but whoever it is doing a good job from where I'm standing. And right now, I'm whether you can hear me or not, I can hear me really good. I just hope I sound as good out there as I do up here. The greatness of God cannot be ignored, cannot be trivialized, cannot be discounted. Don't let popular opinion, don't let misguided religious folk, don't let a season of your life change how you define who God is. As we used to say in the church all the time, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's not a cliche, that's a truth. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the adversary knows he cannot change the greatness of God, and so he does two things. The enemy will minimize how you see yourself in God, and the enemy will minimize how you see God. But we must be confident of who we are in Christ. We are quick to say, because we are a faith church, that I am, and then we fill in the blank. I am blessed. I am healthy. I am favored. I am anointed. But until you know the I am, you cannot say I am. But once you have been exposed to the I am, which is Jesus Christ, you can confidently say when you're sick, I am healed. When you are perplexed, I am. I know the way. I know what God is doing. I am. Praise God. So we started last session talking about I am the bread of life. In 33 and a half years on this earth, when you read the Gospels and the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, and man, this has still been in my spirit all week long, Jesus did not spend a lot of time defining and telling people what he could do. But he spent a lot of time telling people who he was. Because if we ever find out who Jesus is, the what he can do is a byproduct of who he is. Once you find out who Jesus is as the healer, you know that there is healing. When you know God as a provider, you know there is providing. When you know him as a deliverer, you know that there is deliverance. And so knowing who God is so much more important than what he can do. And the first one we covered last session is I am the bread of life. But to jump into new material, the second one I want to cover is I am the door. John 10, verse 9, all of these I ams that we will cover, 7 different I ams, but 2 of them have extra. So there's actually 10 I ams, but every one of these is found in John's gospel. Verse 9 of chapter 10 says, "I am the door." Somebody say the door. The article the is very important in this scripture. He's not a door. He's not one of many ways. He is the door. Meaning, if you want to get to the Father, you must go through him. All roads do not lead to the same place. All religions do not end up at the same place. In actuality, all religions besides Jesus and besides Christianity, all the other religions do end in the same place. Hell. Void of Jesus and without God. You say, "Pastor, that's pretty blunt. That's pretty plain." I'm telling you what Jesus said, not my own opinion. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Somebody ought to praise God for that. "And shall go in and out and find pasture." I don't know if you've realized this or not, but the context of this verse
is this verse, is the verse that is preceding one of the most famous verses in the New Testament. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life in abundance. John 10 and 10 is something that we love to quote, but Jesus said there is no John 10 and 10 unless you know the door and have come through the door. John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He said, there is no other way to get to where you need to be but through me. Why is that important? Because it tells us our need for a conversation, a relationship with Jesus every day of our life. Why? Because you and I can't get to where God has destined us to be unless we go through the door. Jesus says that some go in and out of the door. Can I just encourage you, go in and break the handle off the door, because you're never going back to where you used to be, who you used to be, and how you used to be. Hey, can we just jump up on our feet for 15 seconds and give God a big praise that we're not who we used to be? Come on, church. Come on, online. That we're not who we used to be. I'm not how I used to be. I'm not going back. I'm liking where I'm at. Devil, you can't drag me back. You can't trick me back. I'm not going back. Praise God. High five your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going back. Jesus, the door, gives us access to heaven, to the Father. But Jesus, the door, not only, and can I encourage you, salvation is a great thing. 65 souls on Sunday in the 9/11, 65 yeses went through the door. That's an awesome thing. But you know what? I'm so glad that I'm saved. I hope you're glad that you're saved. I hope every day you're thanking God for what he's done in your life. But you know what? That was one day for me back in July of 1999. But every day, Sister Chris, he's been my access to going further into the kingdom of God. The further I go, the farther I am away from who I used to be. He's my access to the Holy Spirit. He's my access to every good and perfect gift that comes from God. He is the door. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The only ones, when you read this entire chapter in context, the only sheep that follow Jesus are the ones that came through the door. So if you ever meet somebody, oh, this is good, that lives for Jesus for a month, a year, or a decade, it's because they came over the wall. They didn't come through the door. If you come through the door of Jesus, I can't offend you out of the kingdom. If you come through the door that is Jesus, there is not a valley deep enough that will cause you to turn. But for those of us that crawl over the wall, every little thing in church is going to annoy you. Every little attack is going to make you run the other way. But for us in this building, we've come through the door. We've come through Jesus. And listen, it doesn't have to be my song. I don't have to hear my favorite worship. It doesn't have to be my favorite podcast. Every day I wake up saying, Jesus, I love you, and there's nothing this world can do to make me turn my back on you. It says the sheep follow Jesus, verse 4, and they know his voice. When you know Jesus as the door, you know his voice. The next one, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Two verses later in verse 11, and so on one side of John 10 and 10, he says, I am the door. On the other side of John 10 and 10, verse 11, he says, I am the shepherd. Now, I love, and I just preached about it in our Jehovah series, that God is your shepherd. And I love the illustration that the 23rd Psalm gives us, because we draw a lot of solace from that in times of grief or in times of valleys in our life. But I want to break down just a little bit of why the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd, is so important. Jesus declares that he is a good shepherd, which means there are bad shepherds. Because he could have just said, I am the shepherd. Meaning, I am the only shepherd that matters. But he goes on to, he says, I am the good shepherd. Meaning that there are bad shepherds. What are shepherds? Shepherds are ones that lead you. Shepherds are ones that provide for you. Oh, here's where it's going to get a little tight. Shepherds correct you. Shepherds sometimes have to pull you back in line, and it's not a loving caress and embrace, and they're not coddling our fragile egos, but it would just be like a mother who, if your son or daughter, toddler, was running out in the Interstate 35, you'd scream and you'd go snatch them back, and then you'd love and coddle them after the fact. But you're going to get snatched back, and you're going to get some, what were you thinking? Are you out of your mind? Why would you do that? Why would you go against what I told you to do? And then after all that, guess what? Mama's going to hug her baby and say, I'm so glad that I got you in time. The same thing a good shepherd does. When we get out of line, he's got to snap us back. And sometimes my time with Jesus is not Jesus telling me how awesome I am. Sometimes my time with Jesus is Jesus saying, what is wrong with you? You know better than that. You know what I've told you. You know that was going to happen. Why are you running? And when he snaps me back, but guess what? Before I go to sleep that night, he's going to say, but I love you. I'm so glad that you didn't get too far. I'm so glad that you didn't go back through the door. I'm so glad that you didn't leave the sheepfold. I'm so glad that you still call me your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He declares that he is a good shepherd and has given his life. He says the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. God has given his life for us. I'm always amazed at this, that for the will, the New Testament, for the will of the Father, the will of the church to be activated, someone has to die. Just like any will, for a will to go into effect, there has to be a death. I'm always perplexed at this, and I thank God for this all the time. Jesus is the only one that said, for my will to go into effect, I have to die. He dies, the will is activated, 3 days later he comes back to life, and he's the one who enforces the will to make sure that we get everything that is coming to us. And so the good shepherd says, the reason I'm a good shepherd is I'm the only one who is able and willing to lay down my life for you. And when you see that kind of love, it changes you. It changes you. Jesus gave his life for us and died. Jesus wants us to give our lives for him and live. I'm not saying that there's not going to come a time, like in all of these, in some of these other countries, where they're going to put a gun to our head and say, you better denounce him or else. But I'm saying that for where we are in the dispensation, God doesn't need you to die for him. That does nothing for him. What he needs each and every one of us to do is wake up saying, God, I will live for you. That abundant life is not just blessing. That abundant life is a big life that I can testify about and live. You are, I am, the good shepherd. We love to talk about God knowing us, but verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. We love to talk about God knowing us, but in verse 14, Jesus declares that the sheep know him. Know means relationship. My sheep, they know my voice. I preached about it on Saturday night. When you look at Elijah, and it's an incredible story where God takes him up on the mount, an earthquake happens, a tornado happens, all of these big movements happen. And the Bible says that God was not in any of those, but a still small voice was speaking. God's voice is sometimes not loud, but it's always there. And he's always speaking. Just like a mother can hear the cry of her infant out of 10 crying infants, God knows your voice. God knows everything you're going. Here's the question. Can we pick God's voice out of 10? Can we pick his voice? I know we can on a Wednesday night because we're all listening right now. But on Thursday at 2 o'clock, when you got all of your coworkers talking, and you got your flesh talking, and you got your ex-husband texting, come on now, and you got the principal of Johnny's school calling you, when you got all of these competing voices, can you still say, the shepherd speaking, this is what he's saying, and so I'm not going to go crazy, I'm going to rest, and I'm going to have faith in the shepherd that he knows what he's doing. Check this out before we move on to the next one. Allowing God to shepherd us is one of the hardest things that we will ever do. Allowing God to shepherd us. See, a shepherd knows where he's taking the sheep. A shepherd can look out and see enemies and can see praying animals that are after the sheep. The shepherd knows where the best grass is, where the best water is. The shepherd knows when storms are coming and gets those sheep in the cleft of the rock or back to the sheepfold. Can I encourage you? Every day of your life, there is the good shepherd that is Jesus, the I Am, that is leading and guiding us in all things. Can I encourage you? Jesus not only wants you in his house a couple times a week, not only in his word every day, he wants to be able to speak to you about who you're going to marry, where you're going to go to work, where you're going to live, how you're going to spend your free time. It's like my friend said, oh, you got it wrong. You think the church just wants your money. No, we want all of you. We want your family, your marriage. We want your free time. That's what God wants. God wants all of us. Not 90 minutes on Sunday or Wednesday. He said, if I'm going to be the shepherd, I'm going to be the shepherd every day of your life. Going on to the next I Am. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, one chapter later. The context in John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her being Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. There that article, the is, again, the resurrection, the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is a conversation with Mary and Martha at Lazarus' tomb. In this moment, Martha is dealing with the tug of war between faith and feeling. Has anybody ever been caught between faith and feeling? Faith one moment, feeling the next. Oh, there's only 7 or 8 of us? I'm glad I'm in a perfect church. Faith on Sundays at 9 o'clock when Bishop's preaching, and then Sunday at 10 p.m. when you're watching the Texans play, you don't got a lot of faith. See how I moved from Dallas to the Texans? See how I did that? Faith in your morning devotion, but by the time you get to work, and you got all that craziness going, and life happens, because church, we know that life is going to happen. But guess what? I'm not worried when life happens. Why? Because resurrection has already happened. It is past tense. It's already there. So it doesn't matter what is happening or what will happen. I'm standing in the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But Martha, I love this. I preach from this text so many times, but God showed me something a couple weeks ago preparing for tonight's message. In this moment, Martha's dealing with that tug of war. Verse 21, Martha says unto Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what we call no faith. You could have done it, but you didn't do it. There's no faith. The very next verse, I mean, she just takes a little bit of a breath, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, he will give it to you. Big faith. We're talking about the same breath of oxygen. You could have done it, but you didn't do it. But I believe you can do it. Come on, that describes us sometimes. Maybe that's just me. Maybe you don't have highs and lows that life brings. But Martha is in that high and that low. Verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother will rise and live again. Martha says unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. No faith. No faith, faith, no faith. Jesus says this, though. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I'm the life. Check this out, though. When she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at that last day, she did not have now faith. She just had then faith. Then faith, there's no such thing. Now faith is the only thing that matters. Because now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. The only kind of faith that brings to the visible what is invisible and into reality is now faith. If then faith can't produce anything, it's not faith. And some of us are already saying, oh, I know God's going to work in my 2022. Hey, what's wrong with December 15th? Oh, I know that better days are ahead. Hey, what's wrong with 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night? Well, I know that once I get past this and once the divorce is final, listen, God's not looking at the ink on your divorce decree, seeing if it's dried yet. God is looking for now faith. And if Martha had a struggle with it and she was one of his best friends, I know that we as believers 2,000 years removed from his physical life on this earth are sometimes going to have some down days. But I've come to remind you, the I am the resurrection and the life is in this room today. It's not then faith. It's not when faith. It is now faith. I got 7 minutes left. This is what she said. She made the resurrection a one-time event. You know what's wrong with events? They're already over. I've been to some great events. I was there 2014, Father's Day with my dad as the Spurs won what will probably be their last championship ever. I was there. I was there in the no AC game, 95 degrees in the AT&T Center when LeBron started cramping and I had to tell Tyler to put back on his shirt because he was going crazy in there. Tyler and I went to WrestleMania, Jerry World, 105,000 people. These events have been awesome, but you know what they are in my life now? Memories. When you make Jesus an event, he will only be just a memory. Memories yet to make or live. She said, when the resurrection happens, she's already put her faith in somewhere else instead of now. Don't live on memories. That's why Jesus is bigger than Sunday morning. That's why I know you really love him. You're here on a Wednesday night. But you know with me, Jesus is bigger than Wednesday night. Jesus is bigger than a 10-day fast at the beginning of a year. Jesus is bigger than conferences. Jesus is bigger than a devotion. Jesus is bigger than our favorite worship song that climbs the charts in 2021. Jesus is not an event. Jesus is a person. And that's why when she said, I know at the event called the resurrection, my brother will rise again, he looked her square in the eye and said, hey, I am the resurrection. I am the life. You're waiting on something to happen when somebody is standing right in front of you. I am the resurrection. You know why Sean's here tonight? Because he knows the resurrection. He knows the life. When he was put in there and everything was going wonky inside of his body. Yeah, wonky. That's a word I use. Everything was going side to side and wonky in his body. And no, they didn't know what to do. He laid there. But guess what? After the physician checked out, the great physician checked in. And God said, hey, you're not going to stay here. I'm going to rise you up. Why? Because a prophecy went out on Sunday. But by Wednesday night, Sean's going to be back in the house. Look where he is today. Why? Because he knows the resurrection. You can't keep a good man down. That's absurd. You can't keep a God man down. You can't keep a God woman down. Why? Because we have the resurrection and the life. I feel like preaching. Come on. The next one, I am the way, truth, and the life. Here he gives us three all in one verse, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I'm the way. The context is a conversation that he's having with his disciples shortly before he is to go to the cross and the ascension. And Jesus is talking about the future. I love when Jesus talks about the future because Jesus might talk and give vision for the future, but he always brings it to now. Why? Because your next won't matter if you don't take care of your now. That's why I'm glad 2022 is coming, but I've still got 16 days of this year that I'm not going to waste. I believe God can do in the last 16 days more than he did in the first 349 days. I've got some big things spiritually I'm expecting, some big things physically I'm expecting, and I'm not waiting until 2022. I expect God's going to do it tonight before midnight. God might talk about your future, but he's talking to you about your future, so you get your now ready. And if I go, John 14, 3, if I go, I'll prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas asked two questions. And King James Version is kind of backwards, but the two questions he asked are this: where are you going? How do we get there? Great questions, Thomas. The only thing that is not great about those questions is you've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he has been telling you who he is, the Son of God. He just got through telling you where he's going to prepare a place. None of this should be a shock to you. But we know Thomas is doubting Thomas. So every word that Jesus has ever spoken to him, he did not act on it immediately. He questioned every word. Can I encourage you? Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the prophetess, not the psalmist, not the apostle, but when God gives you a word, act on it immediately. Don't wait. Delayed obedience, partial obedience is disobedience. When God gives you a word, and this is what Thomas said, where are you going and how do I get there? Jesus said unto him, his direct answer, the next verse is, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. The way. I love that. When I think of the way, I think of GPS. I usually preach about Mandy a lot on Wednesday nights because she's next door with Catalyst Kids, but here she sits tonight, so I've got to be careful. When I first married Mandy, well, I was going to say she was directionally challenged. She's still directionally challenged. She will tell you that. When I first met Mandy, she called me hysterical. When we first got married, she called me hysterical one day, and this was before iPhones and IMAPs and all of those things. And that was, you remember those big maps, atlases that we used to have? And then we really thought something great was happening when we could print out MapQuest directions. And now all the kids are like, what are those? Yeah, it was a wild time back then, y'all. It was crazy. Mandy calls me hysterical. She's 17, 18 years of age. She's downtown San Antonio. She's lost. She doesn't know where she's at. And she is freaking out. And she said, I don't know where I'm at. She said, tell me, should I take a left or right? I said, Mandy, I don't know where you're at. Drive to an intersection, look up, and tell me what corner you're on. Tell me the two streets that you see. And once you know where you're at, I can tell you where you're going. This is what he says to Thomas. You don't know where you're going? I need you to know where you're at. Once you figure out where you're at, I can tell you where you're going. So how does Thomas know where he's at? What he's saying is, hey, Thomas, the way, the answer to your question, you're talking to him. I'm not going to give you the answer. I am the answer. He said, I'm the way. The way, that's the how. That's how you're going to get to where I'm going. He said, I am the truth. That's the what. What do you believe? I'm going to step on some toes here and tell you, get in your word and study. Because you just saying, I believe Jesus. Yeah. Well, what do you believe? I believe Jesus. Well, you believe the word of God? I believe it all. Well, what does the word of God say? I don't know, but I just believe it. You sound crazy. You need to be able to tell people why you believe what you believe. You need to be able to tell people the testimony. This is the difference God has made in my life. And so the reason, why do you go to church all the time? The reason I go to church all the time is when I started going to church, I was messed up. My family was messed up. My marriage was messed up. I was lost. I didn't know what direction in life. I was trying to find myself. I didn't have a good job. I was damned on my way to hell. But let me tell you, the first time I went, man, they accepted me. They loved me, but I felt something happening in that room. A couple weeks later, I walked down that aisle. Can you believe that was a year ago? And can I tell you that my kids aren't perfect, but they're better than they used to be? Can I tell you that my marriage is stronger than it used to be? But the best thing of all is I'm saved, and should I take my last breath tonight, I will be in heaven before my cold body hits the floor. It is the truth. It's what we believe, and we must know why we believe it. It said, in the way, the truth, the life is the active. He said, where are you going? He said, you don't need to know where I'm going. You just need to know me, and I'll tell you how to get there. Then he said, that faith life that you live, he said, that act of faith is going to be what takes you beyond where you're at today. One more, Pastor Becky, if you'll come. I am the vine. I love this one. John 15, verse 1, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the true vine. If there is a true vine, there are false vines, fake vines, faux vines. My Father, Jesus said, is the husbandman. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me just pause right here and say it. If you can do it without Jesus, it's not worth doing because Jesus calls it nothing. He said, I got that job by myself. Number one, you didn't. God woke you up this morning, kept your heart beating all night, gave you breath, gave you the mobility of your limbs, kept your mouth shut long enough in the interview for them to think you were a good employee, gave you the job. You have all of that is because, but if you want to say you got the job, if you can get a job without Jesus, it's the wrong job, I promise you, because he said without him, we can do no thing, nothing. I love this. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You cannot be fruitful by yourself. For those of you watching online today, I know the world is crazy. I know that you might have some fear or uneasiness of gathering in buildings like this. But can I just encourage you? And I don't want to come at you. I want to preach to your heart, to your spirit today, that you don't want to do life alone. Because the Bible says that you cannot bear fruit by yourself. You say, well, I thought I need Jesus to bear fruit. You do need him to bear fruit, but what are you going to do with the fruit once he bears it? You going to stack it in your house? You bear fruit to feed others. You bear fruit to reach others. Fruit cannot be produced outside of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, this is verse 5. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing can be done outside of Jesus. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, love this, you shall ask what you will, and it will be given or will be done unto you. Stay connected to the vine. Staying connected to the vine is an act of faith. When we stay connected to the vine, everything we ask will be done. Remember, God is our only source. Everything else is a resource. He's the vine that I'm staying connected to. Can I give you good news today if you're sitting in this room, if you're watching online today? All the hell that our nation and our world has been through last two years, you're still connected. That's a testimony in itself. I'm still standing. COVID came, I'm still here. Craziness in our political climate, I'm still here. Maybe you lost some loved ones. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you're still here. I love when God shows me something and then God shows me a verse where I've been trying to explain it for years and it's found in that verse. I said it on Sunday. You can stand on your feet. I said this on Sunday, and I've said this 100 times, that we should be so wrapped up in Jesus that we can't tell, Brother Bud, where I end and where Jesus begins or vice versa. And I love that concept, and I know that is a principle of the Word of God, but man, God did hit me over the head like a ton of bricks when he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. He said, you're in me and I'm in you. So that there is no differentiation for a believer that's connected to the vine. He said, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done unto you. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know if it's the resurrection and life. I don't know if it's the door that you need to come into. Maybe you want to join the 65 yeses from this past Sunday. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you came over the wall and not through the door. We want you to come through the door. See, you come over the wall when you're trying to hide something, when you're trying to sneak. You come through the door when you got confidence and got the keys. Maybe you need the door. Maybe you need a shepherd. Maybe you've been living your life on your own terms, and it's time to turn it over to Jesus. Maybe you need that resurrection, that life-giving power. The same Spirit, Romans says, that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Maybe you need the way, the how, the what, the truth, or the life, that active lifestyle of faith. Or maybe you need to be connected to the vine today. I don't know what you need, but I know that Jesus is the I am. And for you to be able to say I am, you need to connect to him. I want to encourage you to step out of your seat. If it's a long walk, God's going to give you the courage and strength to make that long walk.